Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be your views as well, because it's Open Line Wednesday. And if you'd like to call in and you want to talk on my subject or you want to talk on another subject, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But I thought I'd start out this evening talking about a book I was just glancing at. It was written by Thomas Noguchi, Dr. Thomas Noguchi, who was the coroner of the County of Los Angeles, and the book is entitled Coroner. And it has a section in there on the assassination of Bobby Kennedy. Of course, he talked about it as a murderer, but it's really fascinating as you read what the coroner who did the autopsy on Bobby Kennedy actually came up with, and how he kept sort of saying, well, you know, maybe there was somebody else there, a second person, or maybe, of course, we could explain the fact that Saran was in front of Bobby Kennedy. And then, of course, the shots that killed him came from behind. Maybe Saran actually lunged forward and nobody saw it. 70 people in the room, nobody saw it, but maybe that's how we can explain the fact that the bullet that killed Kennedy came from behind and from about 3 inches away. It's fascinating how they determined what had happened. Well, anyway, of course, if we take you back in time, of course, Bobby Kennedy was killed on the 4th of June, 1968. And it was the evening, of course, when the results came in from the California Democratic Party. And, of course, Bobby Kennedy was running against Eugene McCarthy for the presidency, for the Democratic nomination for the presidency of the United States. And, of course, the media kept saying that Bobby Kennedy was going to win, but the initial reports from the polling booths where McCarthy was ahead, well, actually, of course, what happened, well, Bobby Kennedy did win California, and by winning California, he almost ensured himself the Democratic nomination for the presidency, and had he won it, and we would have run against Richard Nixon, and he would have beat Slippery Dick, was his known. Richard Nixon was a pretty measly-mouthed individual, foul-mouthed, every other word was a swear word. And, of course, the only reason he was going to run in 1968 is because he was a flunky for the Rockefellers. After he left the state of California in 1962, why he moved back to New York City and took an apartment right next to that of Nelson Rockefeller and went to work for a Rockefeller law firm, and they paid him a great deal of money for the coming years, for the next 6 years to run for the presidency. Well, certainly Richard Nixon could not possibly have won against Bobby Kennedy, and that's why Bobby Kennedy had to be assassinated. How do we know he was assassinated? Well, Dr. Noguchi tells you that basically they had two bits of evidence. One was the fact that the bullet that killed him came from behind. The bullet was fired from about 3 inches away. There was a pattern tattooing there on the skin, and actually they were able to determine exactly the distance between the gun and the skull. And, of course, there were powder burns there on the skull. There was actually soot in the hair that had been cut from that area, and soot is one of the things you see if the bullet gun is shot very closely. Of course, the significant thing is there were at least 12 bullets fired, and Saran's gun only held 8 bullets. So, I mean, that by itself should certainly have explained that there were other assassins there. But the government wanted you to believe it was a lone assassin. The people who arranged for the assassination of Bobby Kennedy, of course, had to convince the American people by saying it over and over again, the lone gunman, the lone gunman, the lone gunman. They convinced the American people. Give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, let's go to Dave, who's calling from Troy, New York. Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
Mr. Stan, how are you this evening?
I'm doing just fine, thank you.
Oh, terrific, terrific. It's a pleasure to hear you. I listen to you quite a bit on the web up here in the Northeast, where most people, well, people think I'm even crazier than probably other places in the country when we start talking about the topics to cover each night. But it's so exciting. But a question occurred to me the other day. I was looking at some money, and we were talking about some of the occult symbols, the few people that do seem to get a grip on the concepts. I'm curious. It says, "In God we trust" on the money. But is that referring to the Christian God based on knowing who put it on the, who's likely to have put it on the money? Had that ever come up in any topics you've discussed?
No, it really hasn't, but I think it's a very, very good point, because people must understand that we're seeing a resurgence of Gnosticism. This is probably the most rapidly growing religion of our time. And the Gnostics believe in another God. They believe, of course, that Christians are worshiping the wrong God. So when they talk about God, they're talking about a different God. When they talk about Jesus the Christ, they're not talking about Jesus Christ, and so much of what they say is simply confusing. But certainly when they say "In God we trust," what God are they talking about? I think it's a very valid point.
Yeah, that's something that just as I do more and more studies and research, it just seems to point in that direction. And I thought, gee, I'd love to bring that up to you one night. And you know, I really admire the fact that you are doing what you do every day at your age. I am pursuing a line of work where I'm hoping that I can do the same. I try to really work hard to take care of myself. But, you know, a lot of people say, why do you bother with all that information? I said, well, without the information, how could you be prepared? You confuse being positive with being, with knowing reality. And of course, the first time I heard your show, when you said reality, I said, oh, wow, I know I'm going to enjoy this show.
I mean, reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king, right? And but don't get discouraged because people don't listen to you. I mean, go right ahead.
Never. Every week I find somebody new who's, hey, you know that video or that, the Lindsay Williams show? I downloaded the clip and sent it to several people to see, you know, what their response is, and that's come up. And I send Bob Chapman newsletters over to financial people that I know, and, you know, I love to get their response just to see who's able to see what.
Well, I tell you what, we've got a great new site on our webpage. It's called Other Videos. And if you can get them to go there and see Building 7 come down and the Twin Towers come down, at least it will raise questions in their mind about what really happened that day. Hang on just a moment. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We have David calling from Troy, New York, listening on the Internet. Anything else you want to say, David, before we let you go?
No, I think those are just that main question about the "In God we trust" on the money, and you have really helped me. You've turned me on to doing research and research and research. And you know how it all started, though? It's kind of funny because some of your guests and everything, you know, you talk back about Larry McDonald, and I understood exactly what was going on when his plane went down. And I was just a teenager at the time, but my parents didn't have a babysitter one night when I was about 12, and somebody invited them to a John Birch Society meeting, and I ended up going along. And for some reason, I remembered the whole thing very clearly and very vividly and said, you know, that makes sense, because that thing about evolution in school, I just can't buy that. My parents weren't, you know, Christian. They weren't raising me in a Christian home. But it didn't take long for me to figure out that, the Christian way is the real way.
Amen to that. God bless you. Thanks very much, Dave. And don't get discouraged. Your job is to tell people it's up to God whether they're going to listen. Thanks so much.
Dan, take care. Bye.
Bye-bye. Now let's go to Daniel calling from Spring Branch. Where is Spring Branch, Daniel?
Oh, I'm in Texas.
Okay, fine. Okay, very good. Well, it's good to have you with us. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, hi, Dr. Stan. Well, number one, thank you very much for helping me understand the Word of God much better, which has helped me navigate, around this Antichrist system. It's helped me out tremendously.
Is this the Daniel who used to live up in California?
Yes.
Okay, fine. I thought I recognized your voice. Oh, it's good to hear from you. Okay.
Yeah, thank you very much. A lot of us have been hearing the program that you've had on with Lindsay Williams, and when you were on Alex Jones, and I was going to ask you, you know, first of all, Lindsay Williams has been right for the past 20 years, what he's been telling us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Is he correct one more time? I mean, because this...
Well, remember,
is this,
this is not Lindsay's view. This is what he was told by a man who is part of the ruling elite that rules the world. And were they giving him disinformation or true information? There's a ring of truth to this whole thing. And, of course, remember that Lindsay had told me shortly after his encounter with this very powerful man who just gave him an offer he couldn't refuse. In other words, that his life and his family's life was threatened if he continued talking. So he decided to stop talking about the things they didn't want him to talk about. And I think that's a very, very smart thing to do because these people are ruthless. But in the course of the conversation, this gentleman volunteered certain information. And for those who do not know Lindsay's story, basically, he was told, first of all, that they were going to drop the price of oil. Down to $50 a barrel. And they didn't tell him when it was going to drop, but sometime presumably in the next year or so. Number two is the fact that they were going to announce that massive new oil fields off the north slope of Russia and off of Indonesia. And that was how they were going to be able to drop the price of oil. They were going to do this for one reason, was to destroy the economy of the Arab nations, including Iran. And then the third thing he told Lindsay is that we were going into a terrible, terrible economic slump here that would last for a long period of time. Is it true? Well, I'll tell you shortly after Lindsay told me why the price of oil began to fall. And then within the last week, why the U.S. Geological Survey had actually reported a massive oil field somewhere above the Arctic Circle. It sounds like it's close to Russia, but under any circumstances, it's got about 90 billion barrels of oil in it. And that's about over a third of all the oil that's in Saudi Arabia today. So everything that I know suggests we're going into severe economic problems. I think the man was telling the truth, but it's simply conjecture on my part and on Lindsay's part, but I would listen to what Lindsay has to say and make your plans accordingly.
All right, good. I have been continuously getting my house ready with Jesus Christ and, you know, getting, you know, storing food and everything else you've been advising us.
Right, well, it's because the other thing is keep telling people about what's going on. If they don't listen to you now, they will listen to you later because things are going to get very, very bad here in the United States.
Does Bob Chapman now believe Lindsay Williams?
Well, he feels very much like I do, and that is that it may very well be true. We're just going to have to wait and see. It's not that I question at all what Lindsay Williams say. I would stake my life that he is being honest, but remember, he was told this by somebody else. However, everything that so far he's talked about seems to be coming true. So it gives us some insight into what the elite who control the world are really planning for us common people. I should comment also that at the Bilderberger meeting, and I think it was in early June, just about the time Lindsay was talking to this fellow from the oil company, that the Bilderbergers, according to Jim Tucker, who we've had as a guest, gave the order that the price of oil was to be brought down. They did not want the high price of oil. They thought it was counterproductive. So the people who rule the world through the Bilderbergers, and believe me, the major oil companies attend those Bilderberger meetings, they ordered the price of oil down. So it all really fits together. Anything else, Daniel?
How will it bankrupt the Arabic nations once they begin to dump the dollar? How will they dump it back into the United States? How is that done?
Well, basically, the oil companies of the oil countries, Saudi Arabia and the other countries, maintain their power by giving a lot of things to their people. They give them free education, they give them free medical care, they give them free housing, they give the citizens of their country all sorts of gifts. What happens when they just don't have the money? And, of course, then what are they going to do? Well, they're holding massive amounts of American treasury bills, large amounts of American stock. And one thing that they could do so they could continue giving away money to their subjects so they could maintain themselves in power would to begin to dump the American holdings. And if they did and began to dump those holdings, well, there'd be a tremendous increase in the amount and number of dollars here. There'd be increased inflation because, remember, we've been importing our inflation to other countries. And the dollar would lose its reserve status. The dollar would plunge. And, of course, this would have a profound impact on everybody in America. And I think it certainly is a very plausible explanation.
But how do they dump it?
They would just start selling their T-bonds, and they would buy something. They would simply take the money back to Saudi Arabia. Maybe they'd buy gold, maybe they'd buy silver, or maybe they'd just take the dollars and start distributing it to their people. But I would be very, very concerned that this would have a tremendous effect on America, because we're totally dependent on borrowing from other countries. America is the greatest debtor nation in the world. We have a terrible balance of trade deficit. We have a federal deficit which is really approaching $10 trillion, with another $40 or $50 trillion they never even mentioned. We're having to borrow billions of dollars every day just to pay our debts, and of course they keep spending more and more money. So this is why we're in trouble. And of course,
Go ahead. My last point is, aren't the Arabic people listening to you and me right now, and maybe they're preparing themselves?
I sure hope they are. I think they're in for a very difficult time over there. In fact, one of the things that Lindsay was told, he asked about what's going to happen to Dubai, to these tremendous, tremendous housing developments over there, and the reply from this man who is one of the leaders of this world said, it's going to become a ghost town. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Right, God bless. Let's go to Ray, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Ray. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty good.
Have a question, comment?
Yeah, I want to make some comments. I listened to your program about the Holocaust with
Barry Shavis, right?
Barry Shavis, and it was very eye opener. You know, and I was rather disturbing.
Well, for our listeners who didn't hear it, it is available through Radio Liberty. In fact, we'll probably put together a 4-tape set on what Barry has taught us. But if I were to say some of those things, it'd be called anti-Semitism. when a Jewish patriot says it, I think you can believe it. And he has actually a book out there on labor Zionism and the Holocaust. So you can get this book. You can verify his facts. I think what he says is absolutely true.
I think people miss the point when they don't understand the occult influence, the strong occult influence of the Nazi Party within the Nazi Party.
Absolutely.
Within the hierarchy of the Nazi Party. Of course, Hitler and Himmler. Well, Himmler was very involved in the occult.
Well, so was Adolf Hitler. He was
so
a disciple
was
of Madame Blavatsky. In fact, it said that he read her book, The Secret Doctrine, every evening.
Yeah, and so that energized him. You know, that gave him his abilities. You know, the devil, of course, was involved in it. But outside of that, another thing that people just don't grasp is the role of the financiers and the bankers in Europe, and how they were part of the extermination of the Jews and the other races that were exterminated, which, probably, who knows, maybe 12 million people. Maybe.
Well, according to Norman Cohn in his book of War for Genocide, and he's a Jewish scholar, he talks about the 6 billion Jews were exterminated, but he says there were 12 million others, and that's, of course, in the foreword to his book, which I'd recommend to people. I think it's quite well done.
Yeah.
And, of course, there he talks about the origin of the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, of course, attributing this to the occultists, which I believe is exactly true. What the occultists did is they wrote this document, said exactly what they're going to do, point by point, and then they attributed it to the Jews to draw attention away from them. So people read the protocols, but read it with that thought in mind.
My uncle was in the Dachau liberation, okay? And he took photographs of Dachau, and of course with himself in the pictures sometimes. He took pictures of carloads of dead of corpses.
Right, I can believe that. I was in Dachau about 1954, and it was a horrible, horrible story.
So, it happened.
Right.
It really happened the way it was brought out with the trials. But the trials did not bring out, the Nuremberg trials did not bring out the black magic, it was black magic.
There's a wonderful book. It's called Name escaped me right now, but it is written by a couple of occultists, and basically points out that Churchill insisted that they, at Nuremberg, they didn't bring out any of the truth about the occult. We'll be back in just a moment here. Go right ahead.
Well, Winston Churchill praised them. He praised the Nazis.
Well, of course, Winston Churchill was a druid. Nobody will ever tell you he was a druid.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I'm sure he was involved with other satanic organizations. He was a very evil and wicked man, and most people have no idea, really, the treachery. I mean, during the First World War, when he was High Lord of the Admiralty, he insisted on the invasion of Gallipoli, which none of the military people wanted because they knew it was going to be just a slaughter. And they lost 160,000 British troops and 160,000 Turks died totally unnecessarily. And it was just simply to prolong the war, but they wanted as much carnage as they possibly could because out of that carnage would come the demand for the one world government. They called it the League of Nations at that time.
And the other thing that it's really, really tragic is there were quite a few ships that had, with the Jews were escaping from Europe. They were driven back.
I know. They were trying to escape, and they wouldn't let them get away. That was the tragedy.
They wouldn't let them back, no. And the whole thing, the Sabbateans, were hooked up with the financiers and the bankers. So the one and the same. The Sabbateans were... You need not look any further than the international bankers to know that it was them.
Well, of course, the trouble is, Ray, that most people don't even know who the Sabbateans are, but this is the things we try to bring out in our programs, and I'm going to have to run. Anything else you'd like to say before I let you go?
That's about it. Okay, thanks very much.
God bless. And okay, our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And let's see now. We have Gary. We lost Bill from Albany. If he wants to call back, we'll get him on. But right now we have we have Gary from Union Gap, Washington. Hi, how are you doing there?
Hello, Dr. Stan. How are you tonight?
I'm doing just fine. Where is Union Gap now?
Well, it's right next, sort of part of Yakima, Central Washington.
Okay, fine. Well, we're glad to have you here. Is there anything, what would you like to talk about?
Well, I want to ask you, Dr. Stan, I wanted your take. There's quite a bit of coverage. Used to, 20 years ago, it's still lingering in the... media as far as DVDs and stuff available for people to look at, and I want your take on this idea of Area 51 and this area in Nevada and the DVD called Independence Day and Fire in the Sky about these aliens from outer space. Do you put any stock into any of that? What's your take on it?
Well, I think it's a very conscious effort to convince us that the UFO phenomenon isn't the alien phenomenon. And of course, I don't believe that for 1 minute. I think it's demonic. I believe there's another dimension. And I believe these are beings from another dimension. And we think we can pretty well prove that because, of course, you can't, even if you're an alien from another dimension, you can't violate the laws of physics. And these spacecraft do. They'll go be going 5,000 miles and make a right turn. You can't do that. Centrifugal force means you've got to make a curve, change the direction. But these people come from another dimension and they don't follow the laws of physics or anything else. So I believe, of course, there's a conscious, organized effort, first of all, to say, oh, there's no such thing there. And, of course, they put the disinformation out where they're really trying to cover up the fact that they're aliens from another planet. And that, of course, serves two purposes. One thing, it explains where life came from, so that validates Darwin. And the other thing, of course, is they do not want the people to understand the true spiritual nature of the battle in which we're engaged. And you just hang on there, Gary. We'll be back in just a moment. Again, our number, well, we'll put that up when we get back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, our telephone number, if you'd like to call in, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California, and give us a call. If you have a question, a comment, you want to talk about something, you have a subject you want to talk about, fine. But Gary was asking me about, all this information about these alien critters out there that are trying to invade the United States, and all the information that's being put out, that it's really aliens behind the UFOs and behind all of these supernatural things that are going on. And as I pointed out, I think this is simply disinformation. There's an organized effort to cover up the occult influence in society. And just as there's a wonderful book, and I mentioned it earlier, called Spiritual Politics, where actually they talk about how Winston Churchill insisted that the officials at Nuremberg, the Nuremberg trials for the Nazis, not mention it, the occult background of the Nazi movement. So there's a conscious effort today to discourage any movement, any mention of what we talk about here so often, that is the occult influence behind UFOs, the occult influence working within our government, the occult influence in the Council on Foreign Relations, and the Bilderbergers, and the Bohemian Grove, and the Club of Rome, and all of these other occult organizations.
Well, Dr. Stan, there's the actual. How do you deal with the actual eyewitness accounts, like fire in the sky, of this person that actually saw these creatures, and they describe them just like these aliens are pictured in, like, Independence Day and other films? They were described exactly. I mean, do you believe they're real? You just think that they're demonic?
I do. I think they're absolutely demonic. Yes.
So
the thing is, what they're describing is real. I mean, there have been 5,000 alien abductions that were actually cataloged by, I think, a Dr. John Mark back at Harvard, a professor at Harvard. And then all of the stories had basically the same background. They basically, they described these critters, and they all looked the same. They're all doing the same things and communicating the same ideas. And they're all involved with sex, for women collecting their eggs, with men collecting their sperm. Why would all these people have the same stories when many of them had never talked to one another? No, I believe that there is tremendous evidence that, of course, this is part of the scenario that's going on today. We're told, you know, by our Lord that, you know, when he returns, it'll be as it was in the days of Noah. What was going on in the days of Noah? Why these supernatural angels were coming down and mating with women and having their offspring, the Nephilim, and I believe something similar to that is going on today. In fact, one of these days, I'm going to put together a four-tape set on the Return of the Giants, based upon my interviews with Barry Shamish. They had a whole spat of these supernatural occurrences over in Israel, I think between about 85 and 96, somewhere in there. And, of course, there were literally, I mean, hundreds of thousands of Israelis saw these UFOs, but a number of them saw the giants. And you can imagine what it would be like opening your front door and there's a 9-foot giant standing there. And yet he interviewed a number of people that had similar experiences. So there's something out there, and of course we're not, most people don't have privy to it. And of course, in fact, we could even talk about the Loch Ness Monster. You know, what is the Loch Ness Monster? A lot of people claim they've seen it. You know, and the question, is he down there, lurking there, or is he a supernatural manifestation? Is it just coincidence that Aleister Crowley, who headed the world demonic satanic movement during the first half of the last century, that Aleister Crowley went to live at Loch Ness and was known by his neighbors as the other Loch Ness Monster? I don't think so. I think that's what you're seeing at Loch Ness, and so many of these so-called sightings are supernatural. I can't prove that. I just point out the curious fact that Aleister Crowley, of all the places in the world he could have gone, he went to live on Loch Ness. And then, of course, when he died, why, another a very famous rock star actually purchased his home, somebody else deeply involved in the occult. So I suspect there are tremendous spiritual forces at work there at Loch Ness. But nobody wants to talk about that sort of thing because it sounds so far out. But I have no question that we're seeing all sorts of demonic manifestations today, whether it be crop circles or cattle mutilations. But nobody wants to give this as the explanation for it. I'd like to get our telephone number out. It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Go ahead, Gary.
Okay, well, yeah, I just, people have seen demons. Demons have manifested themselves in different ways.
Right.
And, most of the time when the demons manifest themselves, everyone is different. Everyone is very evil-looking and terrible-looking, but these gray creatures, gray men or whatever, you want to call them, they seem to be all look the same. It's like they're all from the same place, you know?
I think they all do come from the same place. I think it's from the very pit of hell.
Okay.
Okay, God bless. Well, thanks so very much. Well, my telephone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you agree, disagree, love to hear from you. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And of course, this is Open Line Wednesday. And we've got Marie calling from Flint, Michigan. So, Marie, hi. How are you doing tonight? Marie, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can I turn off my radio?
You go right ahead.
Thank you.
Oh, it's Mario. It's Mario. Okay, go ahead, Mario.
Dr. Stan, I heard you talk some time ago about the UN Earth Summit at Rio de Janeiro. I forget what year that was.
It was actually 1992.
1952.
No, 1992.
Okay, and I wanted to ask you a question. It seems like you said that the agenda behind the UN Earth Summit concerned convincing the public that measures to protect and sustain the environment were necessary.
Absolutely. In fact, basically, of course, the first Earth Summit was about 1971, and really it was the same year that the Club of Rome book entitled The Limits of Growth came out, and they said all terrible things. We're going to run out of water, we're going to run out of air, we're going to run out of natural resources, we're going to run out of oil, there are too many people in the world, we're going to have to kill a lot of them off, and it was all a lie. But the Club of Rome, being one of the most prestigious organizations in Europe, people began to believe it. And that year, Marie Strong held the first Earth Summit. That was 1971 and 72.
Yeah, 71 and 72.
And then, of course, and then the second Earth Summit was in 1992. It was held at Rio de Janeiro, and it basically called for the same things. And the whole agenda was laid out in a meeting that was held on Prince Charles's yacht, the Britannia, and of course the leaders of the world came, and they sat down, they figured out what they were going to do, and they were going to hold a meeting and make everybody believe that this was the work of all the people attending the meeting. It was all cut and dried ahead of time, and my understanding is that Al Gore was there, and the lead financial and business leaders of the world, banking leaders of the world were there, and they hammered out this program that was going to lead to the Kyoto Protocol, the desertification treaty, the biodiversity treaty. Those were the three things that they were going to get through. But it all had to do with sustainable development.
Did they have a sustainable development? You said that there is a...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and right now we've got Mario calling from Flint, Michigan, and he's asking about sustainable development. He was asking about the Second Earth Summit, which was held in Rio de Janeiro in 1992, and I simply pointed out that the agenda was laid out the year before on Prince Charles's yacht, the Britannia, and there were the leaders of the world laying out this program to use the threat to the environment to pass a series of laws and treaties that would limit the freedom of every person in the world and bring everybody under the control of this world government that they pushed. And part of that story is told in Joan Vian's book on Prince Charles, the Sustainable Prince. And then much of the other story is told in her book, Global Straight Jacket. They're both out of print now, but you can pick them up on the Internet if they haven't burned them all or destroyed them. Anyway, go ahead, Mario. What else did you want to ask?
Yes, Dr. Stan, you said there was a publication called Sustainable Development.
Well, basically, there is a publication that came out of the Second Earth Summit called the Global Biodiversity Assessment. It's 1,142 pages. It's published by the Cambridge University Press.
It lays out the agenda
that they decided on at the Second Earth Summit. Now, we have summarized it. One of our supporters, spent about 3 months summarizing this 1,142-page book, and you'll find that summary in our sustainable development syllabus. And that's the easiest place to get it because we have, of course, pictures of the Georgia Guidestones, and we have the
you can
global
order it from this.
You can order it from Radio Liberty, right?
Okay, great.
And then, of course, Michael Shaw, through his organization, Freedom Advocates, has a lot of great information on the sustainable development. He actually offers the United Nations Agenda 21, but I think that our syllabus certainly gives you a better overview of what came out of the Global Biodiversity Assessment. But Michael Shaw's material is excellent, and we recommend that as well.
Okay, thank you very much.
God bless, and thanks so very much. And let's go to Carrie is calling from Live Oak, California. Our telephone number, once again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Carrie, are you calling from Live Oak here in the Monterey Bay?
I sure am.
Okay, good to have you with us. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, about this scenario that is a possibility that the price of oil will drop drastically to 40.
No, 50.
It makes a lot of sense, but what comes to my mind is if the price of oil comes down to 40,
normally gold
follows suit.
Beg pardon?
And so gold would come crashing down too.
Well, gold is dropping at the present time, but I think that eventually, of course, it's going to go back up again because it is the only universal money, and the paper money is going to lose its value. So, I certainly would not sell my gold at the present time.
Okay, because I was in thinking of putting it in Europe because if that becomes the oil, you know, laundering standard, and we go away from the dollar standard, wouldn't the euro be a good place to put our gold, or do you think we should stick with it for...
I think it'd be a good idea to stick with it, because the euro is pretty shaky. I'll tell you that I just got a letter from a friend of ours, one of our supporters, who just got back from Germany, and he said the people over there are furious with the euro. Everything has doubled in price for them since they went into the euro. And, of course, a lot of the older people, you know, have lost so much of the value of their life savings.
Yes,
the people of Europe are very disillusioned.
There's a possibility, then, that the euro and all the currencies will drop and that gold will become the world standard then.
Well, you know, you really can sort of tell what's going to happen, Carrie, by reading the publications that come from the Council on Foreign Relations, because the Council on Foreign Relations is the invisible government of the United States. I know, I've been back there, I've spent weeks going through their papers there, and at 60th Street.
Well, for those of us who can't read that kind of stuff, what does it say?
Well, basically it says that one of the suggestions was we should have a global currency. After all, if you're going to have a global government, you've got to have a global currency. And it would be gold-backed. It would be privately issued. And I think who's going to issue it are the people who've been collecting all the gold. And that there's certain people who've been amassing tremendous gold holdings in Europe. And I think that will be used as to back the new currency. We're going to have some sort of a stable currency, because this one we have is on the verge of collapse. And currencies all throughout the world are on verge of collapse. Probably the German economy is better than anybody else, but even there they're having problems.
The Japanese yen and the Chinese, aren't they backed by gold?
No, they're not. No currency in the world is backed up by gold, not even the Swiss franc anymore.
Really?
Nope. No, all the currencies are fiat money, and they're all eventually going to collapse here in the next few years. And I believe that is this horrible chaos that lies ahead. Because once the money loses value, you end up like they are in Zimbabwe. And remember, it was the United States State Department and Henry Kissinger who installed Robert Mugabe in Rhodesia, which we call now called Mugabe. I think what's going on over there is simply a trial to see how this thing will work. Right now, the inflation rate is 2.5% per year.
Yeah, right. So we should have a stash of gold coins, silver coins, and then I have investments in gold stocks and gold denominations in in an ETF, exchange traded fund.
All right, fine. I think that you're in good position. You might even want to think about getting some of your money over. If you had enough of it, put some of it over in Switzerland, in an account there, or in a Swiss annuity, something in Switzerland. But you do it yourself. Don't go to somebody else to do it for you, okay?
Right. Yeah, okay. Now, I have an account in a bank that's called Everbank.
I really don't know anything about it. I've heard of it, but I don't know how solid it is. There is a company that rates banks, and it's Bauer Financial, and for $4 they'll tell you if your bank's in good shape or not.
Right. I've already checked that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, what did they tell you? Was it a good bank?
Yes, it is.
All right, fine. Then
there's the Weiss listing. Do you believe in the Weiss listing?
I think Weiss, Martin Weiss does an excellent job.
That's what I thought. Thank you.
God bless, and thanks so much. And again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. And we've got Dave calling from Wisconsin. Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
Very, very good. Enjoying your conversations tonight. What I wanted to ask you about is you were talking a while back about UFOs and some of those things. And there was a number of years ago a report that came out from Iron Mountain, it was called, I believe.
Right.
And I was wondering if you used to offer, or maybe you still offer that book. I don't know.
Well, I if it's still in print, we do. I'm not certain. It may be out of print at the present time, but it was a very, very important book.
And I was thinking that, you know, that hasn't been spoken about on the radio in years. But didn't they speak about UFOs and, you know, using it to control us?
I think there was some mention of that. It's been many years since I read the report from Iron Mountain. But, yeah, they talked about it and how they're going to deceive the people talking about the UFOs, get them confused. And everything is about confusion so that people can't think clearly about what's going on. It's the old adage, we look through a glass darkly. And I think most people really don't see things. They tell us that the aliens are, the UFOs are alien, and the greys are alien beings. A lot of people will believe it. What we need to do is get people to begin to think independently. And once they do, I'll tell you, it's one of the most exciting things in the world when you can begin reading a newspaper and not say what it says, but why are they putting this in here? What are they trying to convince me of that isn't true? And once you get to the point where you can think that way, why, of course, you freed yourself from their control.
Well, it certainly helps by reading books like the report from Iron Mountain.
Right, and there was, but of course, there's a question, you know, that when the man who wrote the book claimed that it was true at the time. Then later on he said it really wasn't true. I made the whole thing up. It was just based upon what was happening at the time. So I don't know if he was lying then or he's lying now, but the book is very, very true about how, of course, they're planning to, this small group of people, how they're going to rule the world.
Well, yeah, and that's just it. A lot of it has come to fruition, I think.
Right.
Didn't they have the report in the early or mid-60s?
Somewhere there, yeah. In fact, we actually have a one of our reports on our website is on the report from Iron Mountain. I wrote about that probably a decade or more ago, but I'd suggest you go. Do you have access to a computer, Dave?
I guess I do.
All right, fine. We'll just go up on the computer and type in Radio Liberty and report from Iron Mountain, and you can actually pull that down. I'll tell you that. What I want to know when I wrote about something, that's what I do. I go up on the Internet and I type in, you know, Radio Liberty, and then I type in the subject. And it's amazing. They go right to it.
Hey, was it John Kenneth Galbraith that claimed to have written the report?
Well, they claim that John Kenneth Galbraith wrote the report. And one of the things I regret is I never actually called and asked him if he did. He said he agreed with much of it, but I don't think that he necessarily ever admitted that he'd written it.
Okay, I'd heard that, but I didn't know. I mean, I didn't
right.
have any verification. But I have read I did read the book a long time ago.
Right. And we may still have that. I'm just not sure. I haven't looked at our catalog. Maybe somebody could pull out one of our catalogs and look at it and find out. There was a question, it was going out of print, and I was sorry because I thought it was such an important book.
Yeah, it was a very important book, and maybe sometime you could get somebody that's done some research on it as a guest.
Okay, well, take that under advisement. Anything else, okay. Dave?
Oh, no, and I understand you're busy and all that, but I thank you for your show. And
God bless. I'm glad you're out there listening.
By satellite also.
Oh, you're listening on satellite?
Yes.
Do you enjoy your satellite?
Yes, they do.
All right, fine. And just put a plug in for the satellites. You can get this, our programs 24 hours a day, myself and Joyce Riley, and certainly a couple of our other friends are up there. We have a 24-hour satellite. You can get the whole thing, dish, the receiver for, what did you pay, about $169.95?
Yeah, I think that's what they ran.
And you get excellent reception anywhere in the country. So I'm glad you're out there listening. We think it's a great idea.
Oh, yeah, and it comes in so clear.
Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you. You have a good evening. Bye.
And, of course, I would mention, if you get the satellite, of course, you can watch all sorts of television programs. Some of them are in foreign languages. Some of them are leading American Christian programs, and about 100 radio programs and 100 video programs up there. And certainly, if you're interested in knowing more, give us a call off the air. We'll put you in touch with Rick. We have no financial interest in it at all, other than we want as many people listening as possible so they can tell others, so they can tell others, so they can tell others. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And right now we've got Carlos calling from Carson, California. How are you doing, Carlos?
Hey, great, Dr. Stan. Just great. And it's good talking to you. I understand you had Lindsay Williams there on your program last week.
Yes, we did. I had him on actually three times last week, and we put him on this Saturday program as well, so we've already worked him out, and we're going to have him on this coming Saturday on the KSCO program, which I'll be doing.
Oh, great, 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 great. Because, you know, I attended a lecture he gave about 3 years ago where he forecasted that oil would go up to $5 a gallon, and sure, it's happened here in California in
right.
certain places.
I'll tell you what, and Chris, now, of course, the idea that it's so foreign to any of us that they would actually, after taking to $5 a gallon, they would drop it back down again. Now, we're seeing the price of gas dropping. Is this going to be, take it down to 50 now, or is it going to be maybe 6 months or a year from now? I quite frankly don't know. But I will tell you what ran the price of oil up was the destruction of the value of the American dollar. It's the speculators, and it's just not telling you the truth. My August newsletter actually deals with what the head of ExxonMobil said. The senior vice president said, oil ought to be selling at $50 a barrel. We give you the references. The head of Shell Oil said this is all speculation. The head of Marathon Oil said there's no basis for the price of oil to be where it is today. And certainly the people from OPEC are telling you that. So why don't they tell us it's the oil speculators and the Bush administration has steadfastly refused to enforce the laws of this land against speculation. And at the same time, of course, they were going ahead and buying oil on the market to drive the price up. They were buying it for the strategic oil reserve. And, of course, then George Bush has the hypocrisy to come out and say we're going to lift the ban on offshore drilling, knowing it won't do any good for 8 to 10 years. So, I mean, these people give hypocrisy a bad name. But,
well, you know, Dr. Stan, the New World Order has a strategy of two steps forward and one backward.
You're absolutely right.
So Dr. Lindsay's, there's logic to what Dr. Lindsay said, because obviously if they've taken it to five, then they drop it back to $2 per gallon, let's say.
We'll be so grateful.
That's a step backwards. But then they would, when they would drive it up, they'd probably go up to $6-$7 a gallon when that happens.
Well, I'll tell you
that's the way they work.
One reason that they want to drop it down is they do not want competition. I mean, when you start getting oil, at $130 a barrel, then, of course, you can go ahead and start developing the Bakken Reserve that's got about 400 billion barrels of oil in it. Now, what's 400 billion barrels of oil? Well, Saudi Arabia has 230 billion, so they would have almost twice as much as Saudi Arabia, and that's certainly up in Montana and over in the Dakotas. They don't want the competition, so they want to get the price down to destroy the competition, and the same thing goes true. There's tremendous oil sand reserves in Colorado. They don't want that developed, and so by dropping the price down, why they're going to end up, of course, bankrupting anybody who's gotten into the oil business.
Well, that's one of their strategies.
Sure.
They do that with every kind of product. You know, look at the the food products.
Amen to that. And they know exactly what they're doing, and they're just toying with us common folks. Well, once we understand what they're doing, then, of course, we can expose it. And the one thing these people can't understand is the light of day. They're sort of like, you know, vampires, you know. When the first lights of day come, they head for cover. And the reason they had to silence Lindsay and so many other people is they can't let the American people know the truth. And when the people hear the truth, they begin to eventually come to believe. And that's why I do what I do. I believe talk radio, now, of course, with the shortwave and internet and satellite, is a way to reach people, and we're reaching far more than we ever have before.
Well, you're doing an outstanding job, Dr. Stan. But, you know, one thing is, like most people ask, well, what should I invest in right now? And most people are, you hear gold and silver quite a bit. But I'm a little skeptical of that, Dr. Stan, because if you remember, in 1933, FDR confiscated all the gold.
Yeah, but they may do it again. So that's why you want
to
have silver. And then if you want to have some platinum, you want to be diversified. You want to have some money over in Switzerland, but you got to do something, and you got to get out of dollars. And so you should be widely diversified. And the more money you have, the more it should be diversified. Do not put all of your eggs in one basket, because somebody's going to step on it for sure.
Oh, you're right. I started to diversify what little I have recently.
God bless. Anyway, got to let you go. We got another couple of callers.
Thank you so much, Carlos.
Let's go to Kitty calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Kitty.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, Dr. Stan. I want to ask them about something from last night's program on fluoride. The
right.
Dentist. I don't quite understand it. My dentist put in a crown and said he had fluoride in the crown.
Well, of course, you have to get yourself another dentist, because, of course, they put that in there. And, of course, it's a poison. And they don't understand this. I mean, he's not a bad person.
Yes.
He just doesn't understand it. You do not want anybody who's going to give you fluoride. Fluoride is a toxin.
That's what I thought. So should I ask him to take it out?
Well, I would not want a crown with fluoride in it. But then I'm not a dentist, but my feeling is I think it's a terrible, terrible thing to do. And what you need to do is get the information on fluoridation and get it to your dentist before he keeps doing more harm.
Oh, I understand.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Thank you, though, Doctor.
Kitty, you're still there?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. We've got another couple of minutes. Anything else you want to say?
Well, yes, there always is, because it's such a very interesting broad spectrum that you cover. It's very educational. That was really all I'm calling about this evening.
Okay, fine. Well, thanks very much.
Yes.
God bless. And, but I would not. I would tell him, try to get the information. We've got a wonderful talk called The Hidden Agenda goes into water fluoridation. Great syllabus that goes with that.
Uh-huh.
But even more than that, go to fluoridealert.org. It's put out by a retired chemistry professor, and so much information. Fluoridealert.org.
All right, thank
God
you.
God bless. Bye-bye. And let's go to Daniel calling from Southern California. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, Dr. Stan. Good evening.
Good evening. You have a question or comment?
I was going to comment that I was listening, and the guy called in before about talking about the UFOs and such, and it reminded me of a story I'd heard from when I was about 14, about 20 years ago, 1987, 88. I was riding on a bus up to travel to see family, and there was this guy who said he just got out of the military and his wife had left him, and he was drinking or something a little bit, and he started talking about how he worked in this, an area in Nevada, and they had 800 square miles of underground testing facilities. They could test flight jets and everything, and I can always remember that. You know, I was always good at it, loved history in school and had some really good teachers, and now, you know, here it is now, and I've seen other things to corroborate that. And, you know, they have these weather manipulations with ARP and all these technologies.
And they have the chemtrails, of course, but they can modify the weather. They can create storms and droughts, and this is what people don't know. The weather here in California, as you know, has been the strangest we've ever seen. Do you realize that a month ago we had over 2,000 wildfires blazing in America? We still got about 300 of them. Why are we having the droughts here, and they have so much water in the west, in the east, and areas of flooding? And it's very, very simply because they can change the direction of the jet stream. And that's what they're doing, I believe, with HARP. And if you haven't gotten the material that Bob Fletcher has put together, it's excellent, and we recommend it. We have a great DVD he's done, and there's a lot up there on the Internet, certainly about HARP, about chemtrails, about weather modification. Yeah, they really can change the weather today. And they're doing it, I think, and doing great harm to our society. Anything else, Daniel, before we let you go?
Well, I do believe that a cult connection exists from these spirits, that when these gray aliens and such, I think they are earth-based element. They're subterranean. And if you even look in the Bible, Daniel says technology will increase, and that's all half things to talk about. But, you know, it talks about the creation and, you know, yes, I believe these technologies are,
We're going to have to let you go, Daniel. We're out of time.
I want to know your Iraq syllabus, the Iraq canceled story, because you have in there the rebuilding America's defenses. And if you take the globalism out of that, that's not bad. But that includes all these technologies with military superiority of space, which is our constitutional rights apply in space. And I just pray for revival. I think the fires came because of the activist judges trying to make it push the marriage licenses and to include all kinds of strange marriages and all these things. So I just pray, you know, for revival and, you know, people in California to wake up to and impeach people in Sacramento. Not just, we tried to impeach the governor, that doesn't work, okay.
Okay, all you can do is keep on praying, but try to reach people out there, because we're never going to change things unless we have enough people. And of course the Lord wants to intervene, but we need to bring as many people to a personal relationship with our Lord as we can in the time that's allotted. Hey, we're out of time, but God bless and thanks
God
so much for calling. Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is Open Line Wednesday. I hope you enjoy it. I know I do. But this is the time when I have to remind you that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And, of course, we're dependent upon those of you who are out there, if you believe in what we're doing, to help us. And we've got probably over 60 outlets now. Some of it's shortwave, some of it's satellite, some of it's internet, some of them are radio stations. We got, I was calculating that this evening, about 35 radio stations we do on the weekend, only half an hour. But we got a great listening audience out there and a great response from those people. Expensive, but it's so vitally important that we are able to continue getting the information out, because we're going to put out information people will never get elsewhere. And if you'd like to be part of our team, our number is 1-800-544-8927, and you can join the Tape of the Month Club, or you can get our newsletter, or you can whatever you're able to do. We'll certainly appreciate it. And if you can't afford to do anything, then tell other people about our program. We put out a flyer with the last newsletter, and you can duplicate the flyer and pass it out at the local mall, if you've got a mall that's got anybody in it. And of course, at least here in California, they're pretty busy. Other parts of the country, the malls are pretty well empty. And then, of course, but you can go to the grocery store, you can pass them out at church, and it just simply says that media is controlled. If you want the truth, go to RadioLiberty.com. Because most people have a computer or access to a computer, and we hope that they'll listen to our programs. And well, they may start out thinking we're crazy, but before long they're going to be afraid we're not. Well, anyway, of course, if you'd like information on so many of the items that we have, and of course, we've got carrying some great new books. One's called AIDS, The Crime Beyond Belief by Don Scott, about how they genetically engineered the AIDS epidemic. Genetic Roulette by Jeffrey Smith, going into, of course, the genetic engineering of crops, the damage to the people and how it's destroying their lives and promoting cancer. The Lyme Autism Connection by Brian Rosner, going into this terrible disease, Lyme. And, of course, this came out, only developed about 1980, after, of course, some bizarre experiments in a government lab on Plum Island, just across the inlet from Lyme, Connecticut. The new book on population control by Stephen Mosier, and we recommend it's an excellent book. A little expensive, but excellent material. The Ron Paul Revolution, of course, we carry. We carry the book called Saying No to Vaccines. Comes with a DVD. It's put out by Sherry Tenpenny. We've got the Top 10 Lyme Disease Treatments by Brian Rosner. These are some of the new books we're carrying. And, of course, we've got the wonderful one. If you like music, just restful music, we carry the CDs by Newell Oler. We play some of them on our own radio station. He had a wonderful, wonderful talent. He's gone to be, well, I don't know where he is at the present time, but he's passed away anyway. Although I did meet him, and I really wish I'd spent more time talking to him about the Lord. We've got a great new tape set on the execution of Martin Luther King, another one on Prozac and other SSRI drugs, and a great video on what happened on 911 called Blueprint for Truth. put out by the architects and engineers for 911 Truth, 911, the Road to Tyranny by Alex Jones. We've, of course, got the Energy Non-Crisis by Lindsay Williams in DVD form, because you can't get the book anymore. And then the four tapes out on the oil deception and so much more. You can get a catalog if you don't have one. You can see it up on the Internet or give us a call. We'll be glad to send you a CD catalog or a printed catalog. Just ask for what you want. And then remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion. That's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Melody Cedarstrom, who's it's midnight back there where she is, but she's kind enough to be with us. Now, we should point out that Melody supports Radio Liberty, but we support her. We think she does a great job, and recently many people from our programs have called her, and we've never heard anything but praise for her. Hi, Melody. How are things going?
Good evening, Dr. Stan. Things are just wonderful back here at midnight in Pennsylvania.
I'll tell you what, Chris. You know, it's just amazing what they're doing to the price of gold as they're manipulating it down. And some people say, oh, well, that's the price of gold is going down. That's why gold and silver are going down. I don't believe that for 1 minute. I believe all of these prices are manipulated. They manipulated up the price of gold on the commodity exchange. And we've got in my August newsletter talking about, we simply quote the head of Exxon. It says gold ought to be $50 a barrel. And people from Shell Oil said there's no reason for this, Marathon Oil. They say it's commodity speculation. And, of course, the commodity board here said, oh, no, no, we had nothing to do with it. Look, they could have stopped this whole thing a long time ago. They didn't want to. They allowed it to run on up, and now it's going to go back down again. And I think it's going to go even further than most people anticipate, because that's how they destroy their competition. They've done this time and time again with the oil business, and every time they run the price up and everybody jumps in, and then they drop the price and bankrupt their competition. A great scheme, isn't it?
It certainly is. It's a great way to steal wealth, and it's a great way to eliminate, as you said, the competition. And so, you know, yes, they'll probably do it again. And I had a lot of calls recently when we've seen a little bit of pressure on oil this week, and there was a lot of concern about what the drop in oil would do to gold. Many believe that since you'll see a drop in oil, that you'll see the drop in gold. And they're truly not connected over a long period of term. We still have to look at the fundamentals for gold, and certainly it is not driven only by oil. So, you know, there's still many predictions out there that we'll still see 1,200 by the end of the year. There's predictions that UBS came out and said that you'll see 1,050 in the next 1 to 3 months.
You're talking about 1050 for gold, 1050.
That's correct.
Right, and I believe, of course, that they're just manipulating this thing down. I think it's going to go back up again.
Absolutely. During these times, we're going to see extreme volatility in gold, and you'll see gold go up and down, $100 moves at a time. And, you know, when we say $100 moves, we don't necessarily mean all in one day. It can be over a short period of time, and then you'll see a reversal on the upward side also. So, you know, gold is still very strong. We have to look at the true fundamentals behind gold. Gold is a currency. And exactly, you know, what is the connection to gold and our currency, our dollar, and the pressure and the direction for which the dollar will, you know, go in the near future is, of course, we'll see less value on our dollar as it continues to fall. So the fundamentals for gold are very strong. You know, I wish we'd see $50 oil. I'm not so sure it'll go that low, but because if you look at the adjusted rated number for oil, you're still looking in 07 numbers, you're still looking oil at 95 to 100. And if we place on this year's inflation, it might bring it up a little bit higher. So, again, extreme volatility in the uncertainty and all the things that are happening in these markets.
And I think that's a big thing. I think people are scared. They know something's wrong. They don't know what to do. I mean, where am I going to put my money? Maybe if I buy gold, they're going to confiscate it. You know, they're frightened. And, of course, there's got to be somebody out here who says, look, I mean, these are the fundamentals. This is what you do. You diversify, you diversify, and then you diversify. And we'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Melody Cedarstrom. I was really interested this week that we find that the Mervyn's a nationwide chain, certainly of clothing. And Mervyn's, it's they're not high-end material. They're certainly economical things. But, you know, they're certainly not great quality either. And certainly they're talking about just simply closing the doors. And I think we're going to see the demise of a lot of the major chains. We saw Levitt's Furniture. Levitt's was just as much part of furniture as I can remember, and suddenly Levitt's is closing down. Even Costco is talking about having to raise their prices, you know, because of the inflationary pressures that are on them. So these are certainly uncertain times, aren't they, Melody?
Yes, they are. And when you look at Mervyn's, I remember living in Arizona where Mervyn's, I believe they've even filed bankruptcy before. I think Levitt's did too. So, you know, they've always been companies that have been, you know, a little, you know, unstable, I guess, but I guess, so it's, when I first thought about Mervyn's, I thought about that when I lived in Arizona, but it goes back many years, probably in the late 80s or early 90s that they had problems and so forth, but you're right, you're going to see a lot of companies go out of business. They're simply going to close their doors because there isn't any point, and it's interesting in this area where we talk about retailers going out of business. It's interesting because we often talk in this program that, you know, I live in a college town, and they're bringing in a lot of retailers. You have the Home Depot just opened up a big store. You have Kohl's that's opening up a large store. They're building a resort, and, I mean, State College is hardly a resort town. But then you have to look at the type of jobs that they provide, and basically they're just retail, the low end of the job, and all they're doing is replacing jobs that the manufacturing have left to give these other people. So these people are getting less income than what they originally had. Plus, that also most of these jobs are taken over by the college students as they, you know, help to pay their way through college. So that'll help their parents, as their parents won't have to put up so much, you know, to continue to have them with their college education. So it's interesting, as you see, as times change and things are repositioned and as the economy continues to weaken. So, and I think you'll continue to see all these kinds of changes throughout the country. But they're just signs. They're signs of everything failing, and they're signs of Band-Aids being put on a problem that's not being properly addressed.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a minute with Melody. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly our guest is Melody Cedarstrom. If you'd like to give us a call, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And of course, Melody Cederstrom is our guest this afternoon or this evening. And so then we're talking about the fact that Mervyn's is having trouble of their filing for bankruptcy, and certainly Levitt's is having trouble at furniture. They're already in bankruptcy. And I think we're going to see more and more of the national chains just going down. And, of course, apparently the high-end places, the Abercrombie and Fitch and others, they're doing fine because there's some people with a lot of money, but it's the middle class, of course, that they're going to wipe out. And there's a process of wiping out today, and they're the people who have been going to Mervyn's if they wanted to save their money. But, of course, really now, of course, Mervyn's has increasingly been for people that have really limited incomes, and they've been spending a lot of money for advertising, but they just can't make it. Now, of course, look at General Motors. Look at Ford. Ford is offering you a $16,000 discount to buy one of their trucks, one of their cars today. Why? Because they've got to unload them, and they've got some money. They're losing money on their trucks and many of their vehicles. General Motors is losing money on literally everything they're selling, as is Chrysler. These companies, these major automotive companies, are really facing bankruptcy. In fact, according to Dr. Martin Weiss, who writes a financial newsletter, the people who are the bettors, the people who are actually writing the insurance on the bonds for General Motors and for Ford and for Chrysler, believe that General Motors has a 75% chance, not of survival, but of going into bankruptcy. And a 70% chance for Ford and just about the same for Chrysler. We're talking about the total destruction of the American automotive industry, and since so many of our other industries have already moved offshore because it's cheaper, why, of course, we're going to see the gutting of most of our major production. We may have some electronics here, but certainly even much of that is going over to India, where they have excellent facilities, and going to China, where it's so much cheaper. And a lot of our architecture is going over there. A lot of our engineering is going over there. Even reading the Sydney CD scans and MRIs, they can send these electronically over to India and get them read by competent physicians for a third or quarter the price. Increasingly, people who thought that they were secure are suddenly finding they're not secure at all. General Motors cutting back on its pensions for its, you know, its office employees and cutting back on their benefits. They can't cut back on the benefits for the union employees, but they can on their non-union employees. And this is all across the country. We're moving into a severe recession. I believe this is going to be followed by a severe depression. And you have depression and inflation. That's the worst of both worlds. What are your thoughts on that, Melody?
Yes, it is. And I believe I just saw in the headlines as I was looking through the news prior to the program, GM is cutting more salaried workers in Canada and in the States also. I believe there were salaried workers. And it's interesting, I also heard that Ford was, you know, trying to ship in some of their European vehicles to compete with the foreign smaller vehicles, the more gasoline-conscious vehicles. And even their top hybrid, I guess, doesn't even get as much gas mileage as Honda's regular gasoline vehicle. So, I mean, it just shows you that these companies, these automobile manufacturers, they don't want to compete. They're intentionally not competing in order so that they can file bankruptcy, close their doors, and move everything offshore and go into an area where they can make these vehicles a lot less. And because you have the growing nations of China and India, so they'll be able to supply them with the vehicles that they need.
In fact, the people who, of course, subscribe to our newsletter, we're just finishing up the August newsletter. You're not going to get it for a while, but it's in the final stages. And, of course, we point out that the General Motors has moved a lot of its facilities over to China. Mm-hmm. Today, General Motors is the largest automobile producer in China. And they're moving some facilities to Malaysia and Thailand, and so is Ford. And so that is where they're going to be producing the automobiles. And, of course, there's no way that they can return to the United States because as long as we don't have any tariffs here, as long as we're in the global economy. There's no way, of course, that American workers can compete with Chinese workers or Malaysian workers or Thailand workers who will work for 20 cents on American dollars. So the only solution to the problem, and it's really very, very simple, the solution is we'll just lower the living standards of the American worker to that of the Chinese peasant, and then we can all compete effectively in the global market. Doesn't that sound like a great idea, Melody?
Oh, great idea. But you know what's amazing, Dr. Stan, is not too long ago, I mean, I have many customers that work for GM, and while this was all happening, they all had confidence that it wouldn't happen to them. They all believed in their jobs. They knew they weren't going to lose their jobs. They thought they'd be able to keep their jobs, their pensions, and they wouldn't be affected. And now we see things, and certainly, you know, they're all being affected. They're all being offered buyouts and everything so that they do leave and retire early. And it's like the American people just deny, deny, deny until it's knocking on their door. And then some still deny, and they relate to it as a new world. This is the way the new economy is, and they just go along with the program. And it just amazes me.
Well, of course, I think we see the foreclosures continuing here in California. I mean, the houses are losing a tremendous amount of their value. A lot of them have lost 20% just in this last year, and they've lost some the year before. And, but the housing market's got a long way to go before this whole thing is finished. And I mean, a lot of the people who are buying homes now are going to find out 2 or 3 years from now that they're worth far less than they paid for it. They think they're going to get bottom basement prices now, and this just isn't so. I mean, we're going to see a massive contraction of the housing industry, and this is going to have a profound impact upon the lives of so many people, especially the people who maybe bought a house for $500,000 and got a mortgage for $500,000, but the building's only worth $300,000 now. What are they going to do? Are they going to pay money on a mortgage for $500,000 on a house that's worth $300,000? They're not going to. They're going to just walk away and stick the bank with it. And, of course, when that happens, why, of course, many of our major financial institutions are frankly insolvent. And we're talking about many of our large banks. We're talking about Morgan Stanley and Chase Manhattan. Or I should say J.P. Morgan Chase now. They merged. But these people have massive debts. Union Bank of Switzerland, the third largest bank in the world, has already written off over $40 billion. And they got another $75 billion or $72 billion of troubled loans there. And, you know, some of the biggest banks in the world are facing insolvency because they got into all these bonds that they thought were AAA, and they were simply deceived. Well, if they can deceive banks like that, they can deceive the rest of us. And certainly this new legislation that Congress has passed is not going to solve the problem. Well, of course, it will solve the problem for the IRS. Now, the records of everything you buy with a credit card will now be funneled to the IRS so that by computer they can determine exactly what you're doing, what you're buying. They will know everything about you. But then that's what it's all about. And of course, we know that the reason we have a housing crisis is because the IRS didn't know enough about the average individual. That's the most ridiculous thing in the world. Why did they put that in the bill? Why? Very simply, because they'd created a crisis, and now they wanted to use that crisis to get more information on the American people. And who could possibly vote against something that was going to help people save their homes? And by using the emotional plea that, oh my goodness, we've got to help the people. Why suddenly the stipulation in this new bill is, of course, the credit card companies are going to have to send all of their files back to the Internal Revenue Service, or as we like to call it, the Infernal Revenue Service, so they can track each and every one of us. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And give us a call if you have a question or comment for Melody, because she's on the front lines of this, what's going on. And I'm sure people call her from all across the country, you know, asking, they're concerned about what's happening because they see the value of our dollar being destroyed by inflation. And of course, as we've often said, they're lying to us about inflation. They have a new means of calculating inflation. It's called hedonics, H-E-D-O-N-I-C-H. hedonics. And look it up on the Internet. It's simply a means of lying to the people. So basically, are a lot of people worried about the inflation that is gripping this nation, Melody?
Yes, it is. And it is on their mind. And many people are beginning to place their funds into secure, a little more safety avenue like gold and silver. And what's interesting is lots of new buyers purchasing gold and silver where they haven't purchased gold before. They don't have it in their portfolio. And to me, there's many signs that I see in the gold and silver market, not only with the questions that come with the clients that call, but also within the coin markets. And I'm seeing how the changes in their pricing are becoming a little more stronger. In fact, I was doing some comparisons today, and I noticed we've had a 60-65 drop in the spot price of gold lately, and some of the $20 gold pieces have actually gone up. So that's kind of showing me that the prices are breaking away and are not so strictly tied to the spot price of gold, which is a good thing. This means that their true supply and demand is beginning to overtake their attachment to spot gold. Will it stay? Well, it depends on the momentum of the markets. But if you look at what's happening in our financial markets, and we still have many months to follow and years to go, I think this is a significant and an exciting thing to see in the coin market.
All right. Do you think that certainly there might be developing some shortages of gold then, or at least of gold coins?
There's always been shortages of gold coins. Depending on the coins, depending on any point in time of what's happening in the market, you can always find a shortage, and depending on the amount that you're looking to purchase. Lots of times people think that there's shortages. Well, of course, if someone orders a...
Hold that, Melody. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. I didn't mean to interrupt you there. But we come to that break, go right ahead and finish your thought, and then we'll go to Jim in Kansas.
Well, when we're looking at shortages of gold, it can depend on the particular coin. But to generalize a shortage in gold coins, I don't think you're seeing that right now. But I think in the very near future, when the general populace gets into the market, yes, there will be.
All right, fine. Well, hi, Jim. How are you doing?
Well, I'm still alive.
Okay, fine. Well, I'm glad for that. What part of Kansas are you from?
By Dodge City.
Okay, very good. How do you hear us? Shortwave internet or what?
I've got a satellite system.
Oh, great. Do you like that satellite system?
I love it.
All right, fine. I'm so glad. Well, anyway.
I mean, there's shows on it 24 hours a day. Anytime I'm awake, I can get something, you know.
Well,
and I can get yours all the time.
We have a 24-hour feed with our programs, Joyce Riley, Pastor Butch Pond. And then, of course, there's a lot of other things up there, so I'm glad you're happy with it. And anyway, did you have a question or comment for our guest?
Well, mostly a comment, but it sure fits in with what you guys were saying. That people are looking into us to find information on us, because I had a phone problem, and I called to get it fixed, and I got somebody in India who didn't speak very good English, but he spoke it up.
Right.
And he told me how to fix it and all that. We got it done. And then the guy wouldn't let me off the phone. He was very casual, and he kept asking me, well, how many kids do you have? Where do you live now? You know, where's your wife? Blah, 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 blah. Just, you know, do you drive very often? Where do you go shopping? I mean, they were finding out, and I played him on. I just see what he would do, you know. And they're looking for information on their new market.
I'm sure they are, and I'm sure but remember, anything that they have is subject to government confiscation, government utilization, and the government is really creating dossiers on every citizen in America, and basically the military is doing this, and this is certainly covered in a book called Fixing Intelligence by Lieutenant General William Odom, came out in about 2003, and this was the guy who was the head of the largest spy agency in the United States, the National Security Agency, NSA. And he couldn't really tell us what they were doing, but he could ask questions like, should the Army be collecting dossiers on American citizens? Well, he didn't say they were doing it. He just asked the question. He's a real patriot, incidentally. Go ahead, Jim.
But this is the Indians now.
Right. Sure, they are.
Doing it on Americans.
I'm sure they are, but I'm sure that the government will know that because they tap all those telephone calls. Every telephone call you have is listened to by a computer and recorded indefinitely.
Well, keep up the good work, and Melanie, I sure like your information, too.
God bless, and thanks very much, Jim. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jim.
Okay. And do you have any thoughts at all on what Jim was saying there?
Well, that's the first time I heard about, you know, where you're trying to get your telephone fixed, and they're inquiring and taking intelligence on the clients, and so that's very interesting. And but it's all part of it. It's all part, just like the IRS or the credit cards being sent to the IRS, the shopping and everything. And it started such a long time ago. I mean, it's just another added, and we're just closer to where they do know everything about us. But it's been going on for such a long time. And they're very smooth about it. They start small, and the next thing you know, they have everything that they want or need.
You have to be very careful in what you ask. And somebody you don't know calls you and wants information on you.
You know,
the last three numbers, your the PIN number on the back of your credit card or something, just to verify is really you. I do not give anybody information over this phone that you don't know.
Absolutely.
So, and so, because, of course, there are all sorts of scams out there. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, of course, Melody Cederstrom, and, of course, our telephone number, if you'd like to talk to us, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and these really are exciting times, and certainly, I think everybody really has to understand that a lot of people are waiting for the things to end and got to get back the way they were. They're not going back the way they were. America is going to change forever now. Suddenly, when we come out on the other side, there's one of two possibilities. Either we will have restored our constitutional republic and we will be free, or we will live as slaves in this new world order. Those are the only two alternatives. There's no place in between. Because if we don't restore our constitution, if we don't teach people about what's going on, if they don't demand, of course, that the wicked people who are violating the laws of our land, and of course, when you run for political office, you swear to uphold the Constitution and protect it against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And we got a lot of domestic enemies of the Constitution working in Washington, D.C., have sworn to uphold the Constitution, and are doing everything they can to destroy it. And they'll tell you, oh, well, we can do whatever we want to when we're in Congress. That's the Welfare Clause. That's not what the Welfare Clause says. That's not what our Founding Fathers wanted. That has been used by the people who had established a dictatorship in America. We've got to get people educated, and that's what I do, and that's what Melody does. And, of course, it's so important that people understand the foundations of our freedom. And one of the things, of course, you read the Constitution, it talks about the importance of our currency being backed by gold and silver. And, of course, the reason, of course, we can have inflation is because we do not have a currency that has any value. It's all in the eye of the beholder. And one of these days, you're going to wake up and find that the dollars that you have become worthless. The insurance policy you have will be redeemed in useless money. And the same thing with your pension fund and your Social Security. They'll pay you the money, but it won't buy anything. In Rhodesia today, why, of course, near $500 billion will buy about three oranges. That is the status of the country that we, the regime that was put into power by the American State Department, and the people were promised, if things ever get out of hand, we'll come there to help you. I think it's just another of the social experiments that our leaders are simply carrying out to see how people will react and to dire circumstances. So anyway, Melody, certainly as you're talking to people out across America, you get this feeling that many of these people are uncertain. What do you tell them about what the future holds?
Lots of times I don't tell them anything. I ask them questions, and they really come to the same conclusion or the same information that I would provide for them. They do know what's going on. You know, we have to look at this country, and, you know, all the wealth in this country is all based on debt, and this debt can't be paid. And if the debt can't be paid, that means that wealth will have to disappear. And so, you know, they understand this to some degree. Usually they can relate more to, you know, what is happening with the gasoline prices, because that is something that everybody can relate to. And they understand that things are right. And they can ask their financial planners different questions, and their financial planners really don't have a clue what's going on. But the financial planners and brokers, I told someone today, they're the same as the real estate brokers were
you know, in the, you know, in the early 2000s. They can't listen or believe that homes are overpriced. They can't believe that there's a subprime mortgage crisis about to face them, because then they would have to change their belief in what they're selling, and that's their homes and so forth at that point in time. So, you know, and that means they're going to be out of a job. So they can't admit and help people with their finances in today's market because they don't believe it. They have to believe what they're being told, and basically they're being told that they have to sell this particular investment to their client. And they, so you have to be very careful when you're talking to your financial planners, when they're trying to tell you that you know you should stay away from gold. They don't understand, because they truly don't understand what's going on. And always take an active, you know, always be active in your financing and in your investments. You know, I tell people you can do just as well as any financial broker. You can make the same decisions or better decisions than he can, and we can't always be right. But we can certainly be more right than they are in these markets because they don't understand.
And, of course, the thing is, this is a time not to be invested in anything that is not sound. This is something, do not try to get into any get-rich-fast scheme. Don't invest in, you know, in my estimation, is this is not a good time to be investing in, you know, in mining stocks, things of that sort. There may be, maybe the more solid ones you might want to think about, but do not get into anything that's speculative, because they can't borrow money. And, of course, the price of the commodities may very well start falling before long. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Melody Cederstrom. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Just be awfully, awfully careful. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Melody Cederstrom. And Melody, for us, you know, we're finding all across America that a lot of the strip malls, a lot of the malls are losing customers. And I don't know if that's true where you are, and it's not that not terribly true where we are. But I think in a lot of areas, why of course a lot of these people, they're just simply overbuilt. There's too many malls out there, and there are not enough people in many parts of the country, spending money. Certainly, they talk about Detroit, even in the better areas of town. There's simply these strip malls, and there's no shops in them. And I think we're going to see more and more people, more small companies getting into more and more problems as people begin to conserve their money. They might even begin saving money again, because this is certainly what we really need, is to have the American people saving money, not spending their money. And only by so doing are we going to be able to get back to any sort of a permanent or stable financial system. But I think it's going to take many, many years before that comes about. What are your thoughts, Melody?
Well, and you're right about the strip malls. Many of them are changing, and I do see it here, you know, and it makes people wonder, because as I mentioned earlier, in one hand you see the strip malls close, you know, you see new business go in, they fail, and then on the other hand you see other bigger retailers being built. You know, a lot of people don't realize that these plans for these, you know, larger retailers to be built have been in the plans for, you know, maybe several years, you know, so, and they have to go through it because they already have funding for it, so they have the funds, so they have to go through with it, whether it's best for their bottom line or not, and perhaps people will begin saving money again, but you know what, they still can't, because they are so far in debt, you know, unless they have the ability to, and you certainly can't file bankruptcy like you could at one point in time, because they all knew this was coming down, so they changed the bankruptcy laws. And the same thing with this IRS reporting on the credit cards for businesses. They know what's coming down the pike. They know what's going to be happening a couple years from now. They know where it's going, and they just don't want anybody else to know. They don't want the general populace out there to know. But for those that can save money, gold is a wonderful way to save money. You get to save it, and, you know, I tell people it's the old, you know, in the old days they used to put cash underneath the mattress. Now you put gold underneath your mattress, and you make it your savings account. And that's how you should view gold. You buy gold to preserve your wealth. And yes, gold will go up, and you can do very well financially. You can have some great increases on your gold coins. But first and foremost, you buy gold to preserve your wealth.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment here with Melody Cederson. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Carrie from Live Oak on the line. We'll get to Carrie in just a moment. But before we do that, let me get our telephone number off one more time. It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And, Melody, I want you to get out your website and your telephone number.
The telephone number is 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And the website is discountgoldandsilvertrading.net, discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. And if anybody would like to email us, our email address is discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com.
All right, fine. Let's go to Carrie, who's calling in from Live Oak. Hi, Carrie. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I've been following your program, and fortunately, I have most of my investments in gold and silver and also an Energy Plus diversified fund, which is paying out 10% interest.
Oh, boy, you're doing real well. Well, I'm glad you're doing well, Carrie.
Well, thank you. The reason I'm calling is I've made money, and I need but they're all in IRAs, okay? And they're in different banks and different, you know, so I've diversified different brokerage houses, etc. So I don't have all my eggs in one institution. I don't trust any of them.
All right, Chris, but how soon would you be eligible to pull those out without
a
fight?
Well, I'm lucky in that I have actually able to pull out about $10,000 a year tax-free because my income is so low.
Okay, that's great. Okay. But get it out as much
because
as you can out of it.
I took your advice almost 10 years ago and sold my condo almost at the peak.
Okay, I'm so glad you did. Well, you know, a lot of people did, and they came out real well, and I think a lot of people just said it couldn't be true, and they've lived to regret it.
Now, what my question is, I have about $9,000 right now that I can put in, and you say diversify. So mainly, I'm thinking, with IRA money, you have to roll it over, or you can you lose that benefit of tax deferral. So wouldn't it be good to invest in something like China and places like that? The funds, they have them on there, ETFs and so forth, for these, they have one that's called China, Russia, India, and Brazil or something like that.
All right, fine. Let's get Melody's thoughts on that, and then I'll tell you what I think.
Okay.
Go ahead, Melody.
Well, I'm probably a little different because personally, since we've opened the company, we've never even sold Chinese pandas because I don't want to support. I don't want my funds to going into these countries. That's my personal decision. Is it a great financial decision? I don't know. But, I mean, they're going to have the same amount of problems as, I mean, we're looking at a global situation, a global problem is going to affect everywhere and every place. So I guess it would just depend on, you know, what funds you're looking at and so forth. But personally, I don't want to support any of those countries.
And even more than that, Carrie, I would be very, very cautious about investing in China because they're having real financial problems over there. Mm-hmm. And they've got inflation, and they've got a lot of unrest. And of course, they've been exporting like mad, but what happens if other countries aren't buying from them? And of course, basically, there's a letter I take. It's called the Wellington Letter. At least I get it from a very good friend. And he's even talking about maybe shorting out Chinese stocks. And actually, you can get there's certain things that you can get into where you can actually get leverage shorting the stocks. He thinks you ought to be, you know, in these exchange funds that are shorting the stock market. He thinks the stock market's going to fall.
Yep.
And so I think that there's a lot to do not get into something. What you need is somebody that you know that you can really trust. Now, James,
now, that's what I was going to say. Do you have a brokerage place that you refer people to?
No, I don't. In fact, I do have some newsletters, and I think that one of those I think that is probably one of the best ones I know is the Wellington newsletter. You can call me off the air, and I can get you some information on it. But basically, they're saying, look, the market's going to go down. Now, I take the Dines letter. Jim Dines has been wonderful in the past, but he sure is not calling things at the present time. He's telling people to get into a lot of these development companies that are just going down to the cellar.
Yeah.
So I think that these are times that, well, first of all, you cannot afford to gamble because you can't afford to lose the money, obviously.
Yep.
But, I mean, a lot of the smart people are getting into exchange-traded funds that are shorting the market, and I think that's not a bad place to be.
Okay. What about the WISE newsletter? Do you think that one's got some good advice?
Yes, of course. But I think that Martin Weiss has a lot of good information. I've read them all, but I really rather like the Wellington right now.
Okay.
All right, fine. Give me.
Thank
but
you.
God bless you. Thanks so much, Carrie.
Thank you,
Carrie. Glad things have gone well for you.
Thanks to you, and I pray for you, and I pray for God to show me what to do every day.
God bless. Well, I'll tell you what, he's a lot smarter than I am, so you listen to his advice.
Okay, thank you.
God bless. Bye-bye. Of course, we've got a lot of people out there that feel uncertain, and it's hard. And, you know, it's so easy to get investing in something and to make sure you're going to make a lot of money. The market is driven by two things. One is greed, and the other is fear. And you get into the market from greed, and then, of course, the fear takes over, and you just can't think effectively, and eventually you end up selling the stocks just before it goes up. You've got to be very careful. That's the nice thing about gold and silver. It can just sort of sit there, and you just don't worry about it. There's nothing you can do about it. If it goes up, fine. If it goes down, fine. But in the long run, it's the currency that's been around for 5,000 years, and I don't think it's going to change. No matter what our high officials say, actually, you go back and you read what Alan Greenspan said. And if you haven't read his essay on gold and freedom, you ought to get it. It's available off of the Internet. And he just tells you that there's no way to protect your savings other than with gold. That's the only way you can prevent inflation from pauperizing you. And I believe he's absolutely right. What do you think about that?
Absolutely, and it seems like Carrie took control of her finances and her investments, and she did very well. She took an active part in her investments, and so it's great. But you're right, it's greed and fear that moves the market, and in these times you have to be so careful. And I often, you know, tell my clients, you know, when you're investing in the markets nowadays, you're basically, you know, you are gambling, and if you go in there, you should have disposable income. Disposable income is income that you can afford to lose, and you have to look at it. I don't think there are too many windfalls anymore out there. Everything is too uncertain, and it can move either way very quickly.
I think that's absolutely right. What I always like to say, if you want to take on a speculation, so you think that this is going to go up and you're going to make a fortune, only invest the amount of money that you can afford to lose. Because, of course, do not put any money that you might have to depend upon because, you know, if you can lose it, you probably will, and especially in these times. These are the most difficult times we've ever seen, and sooner or later that market is going to plunge. Now, they may keep it up until through the election, but, of course, we're in for real financial problems. And it's not just the United States. This is the whole world. The economy of every nation in the world is beginning to contract. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. So anyway, Chris, if you're out there, why give us a call if you have a question for Melody, because she's certainly on the front lines of this battle, talking to people all over the country as they call her for advice and suggestions. And so what do you tell the people when they do call, Melody?
Buy gold. It's very simple. But I do have two examples of people, particularly if they're holding stocks. I had one couple who lost 50% of their investment in this particular fund. And, you know, I don't counsel anyone. I just give them information and allow them to make the decisions. They decided to close out their account, even though they lost 50%, because they felt they could invest that 50% in gold and keep what they have. On the other hand, I received a recent phone call with someone where they rode their investment all the way down.
and it went from, you know, one price all the way, it probably lost 90% of the value. So folks, you know, you have to look at what you have, and if you have something that's losing money, think about getting out. Don't write it all the way down, particularly if you had it for a long time. And a lot of people will tell you you have to keep it because it's going to turn around, it's going to turn around. You don't know if it's going to turn around. And I'm in the mindset you get out while you can, and then you do something with the funds you have left to either keep what you have or maybe recapture some of the losses that you incurred. So, but I usually tell my customers a minimum of your gold and silver assets should be 30 to 50% of your assets. To me, that is low. You know, to me, I think it should be a lot higher because to me, I don't think there's anything else. And if I knew of a great windfall or if I knew a great investment, I certainly would tell the client. But of the 30 to 50% is a minimum, and of that you should have 80% gold and 20% silver. And, of course, that can always be adjusted according to your investment objective. These are guidelines. These are starting points. And the reason I get often asked, why 80% gold? Why not higher in silver? And my view is we're looking at a currency situation. Gold is a currency. Gold is stable, and you have a little bit more volatility in silver. So if you're looking to preserve your wealth, you're looking for something that's stable. And we've seen some big swings in gold. We've seen even bigger swings in silver. So that's why we keep it at 80-20. And then you can go into various different products, you know, in the breakup of the gold and the silver. And so if you stay with that, the rule of thumb, it's a great starting point. You can adjust as we go along. And I always try to keep things simple, uncomplicated, and basic. And we sort of do things a little bit different here at Discount. We base our advice and our portfolios on the suitability of the customers and what they're looking to invest, their ideas, what they want from their gold and silver. Sometimes it's a shorter term than a longer term. So there's different coins for different situations. And we're not one where we sell one type of coin to everybody. You know, we don't log on to a coin and say, oh, you have to buy this coin because it's the best performing coin ever and blah, blah. We sort of, each coin has a purpose. Each coin is valued and priced in a certain manner. So it really depends on what you're looking for and to get into the right product, because that's what makes a great portfolio. That's what makes it work for you. And even though over a long period of time, yes, gold is gold, gold's going to go up. You know, all coins will do well. It's best to even be a little diversified within the gold coin market.
All right, well, our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And never forget the words of Daniel Webster. Of all the contrivances for cheating the laboring classes of mankind, none has been more effective than that which deludes them with paper money. And what Aristotle said, actually, this, of course, came out of the Barton's quotations. Aristotle had said there's absolutely nothing wrong with paper money, with fiat money, as long as you have perfect authority and godlike wisdom and kings. And, of course, you know, he said that something with tongue-in-cheek, because whoever heard of perfect authority and godlike wisdom in kings? And then, of course, Alan Greenspan, in the absence of the gold standard, there is no way to protect savings from confiscation through inflation. There is no safe store of value. And that's Alan Greenspan writing in, I think, 1965 in his essay, Gold and Freedom. We actually have that included up on our Internet space, and you can actually book it up there, or you can get it off the Internet. But Alan Greenspan understood exactly what he was doing and that everything he was doing was wrong. In fact, we're going to put together a little five-letter set on Congressman Ron Paul and his questions for Alan Greenspan. And it's amazing how Alan Greenspan would never want to answer questions accurately. But one of my favorite stories, and I'm sure it's true because I talked to Congressman Ron Paul's press secretary about this, and I said, I'd heard the story and I wanted to be sure it was true, and he confirmed it. One time after a House Currency, House Banking Committee meeting, why, of course, Ron Paul went up to Alan Greenspan and said, you know, Mr. Chairman, you know, of course, in view of the policies of the Federal Reserve System, are you ready then to renounce the essay you wrote in 1965, Gold and Freedom? And Alan Greenspan looked at Ron Paul and said, I recently reread that essay, and I wouldn't change a word of it. What he was saying was, I know what everything we're doing is wrong, and the gold is the only storehouse of value, and yet here's the man who, in my estimation, has done more than any other person to destroy our economic system, and the question has to be raised, why? Well, if you haven't seen a little pamphlet on the financial meltdown where I tell you why I think Alan Greenspan did what he did, we hope maybe you'll want to get that. It's inexpensive. A lot of great information there. And, of course, only by understanding why they've done what they've done we'll be able to make preparations to protect ourselves. That's a pamphlet called The Financial Meltdown. And, of course, it reflects what's going on today. Well, Melody, we've just got a couple of minutes for you to give your thoughts to our listeners as to what they should be doing. You've already told them it should be gold and done in gold and silver, and you say what 50% of their savings in that. Of course, that does that include their home, certainly their pensions? Is that above the 50%, or is that including that?
Well, I agree. It should be 30 to 50% of all their assets. I mean, if you have, because I do believe, you know, people do have other investments. They need to have, you know, they're not going to put 100%. Well, a lot of people do. The majority, a lot of my clients do put 100% of all their assets, you know, of their cash assets and their investment plans. If they can pull out, so much of their funds are tied up to where they don't have access to it. And so that's a sad part about what's also happening in this and our view, our listeners' funds is they don't have access, they can't take it out, or they're so severely penalized in tax. That's one thing that I often tell my clients is you shouldn't allow taxes or penalties come into play when you're making an investment decision, because oftentimes taxes and penalties will keep you from doing something that you should be doing. And of course, taxes are only going to go up. Although many, you know, as we get older and so forth, usually our taxes will go down, but taxes are going to continue to rise, and penalties sometimes are there to keep you from doing what you need to do. So you need to look at it overall and stay with a minimum of 30 to 50% of your hard assets should be in gold and silver. There's a lot of misinformation floating around. There's a lot of opinions out there on what products people should own and what they should buy. I've been hearing a lot more coming up with foreign gold. Folks, it doesn't matter if a coin is dated pre-33. It doesn't matter. You know, you want to get the best investment for your dollar. Ultimately, you want to get as much gold as possible for your dollar. That's the goal.
All right, fine. Let's get your telephone number and your webpage out one more time.
800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188, and the website is discountgoldandsilvertrading.net, discountgoldandsilvertrading.net.
Okay, fine. Well, I guess it's been Melody Cederstrom from discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. We hope you've enjoyed this. Remember, we're in difficult times. Be careful, diversify, and be careful of your banks, too. Remember, when they go down, if you got more of $100,000 in it, it may be a long time before you ever see any of your money. Well, Melody, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up tonight's program.
Well, I encourage anybody who ever has any questions to give us a call. And it doesn't matter what the question is, you can give us a call. Be careful out there. Don't chase yields. And if something is too much of a low-paying yield, you have to look at the benefits of it. And you know, it looks like gold will probably outdo any low-paying yield on anything. So be careful out there. If you put your place in something, you want to make sure that, you know, it keeps up with inflation. I mean, inflation now is, you know, anywhere from 13 to 15%. And so a lot of it, a lot of your funds, your purchasing power is declining. So you want to make sure you have something. And, of course, we've all known the story about gold and the ability to buy that expensive suit. We've been able to preserve your wealth, so it's very important. There's a lot of opinions out there on various products, There's a lot of opinions on gold versus silver, but we always ask our clients what's best for you. Don't fall into something and going into a gold product or silver product with the promise of profit, pushing your greed button, and you have to preserve your wealth, and that's the most important thing that you can do. And we think we do a great job, and we've taken we have fast delivery. Most of our customers' orders are taken care of in 15 working days from the day of the order. Sometimes once in a while orders can take a little bit longer depending on, you know, the availability of a product or the size and so forth. But for the most part, 15 working days is a pretty quick turnaround in the industry today. So we do a great job, and we just ask that you give us a call. But the most important, preserve your wealth.
Well, I think that's absolutely right. And certainly there's an awful lot of sharks out there that are just looking for suckers. And it's unfortunately, but I think we're going to see more and more people, of course, just falling into these traps. There is no short way to gaining wealth. And, of course, do not go into investments with the idea of making money at this time in the economic cycle. What you want to do is preserve your wealth. That's what you want to do, preserve what you have. Because, of course, the old adage, of course, you know, in investment, why, of course, it, bears get a little and bulls get a little, but the hogs get nothing. They get slaughtered. And believe me, I believe that there's going to be an awful lot of people who are going to lose almost everything they have before this economic crisis that we're entering into is over. So remember the adage, bears get a little and bulls get a little and hogs get slaughtered, and do not be a hog. Just be very, very careful. Melody, God bless you. Thanks very much for being with us. We'll talk to you later next week, next month. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And, well, we'll be back in just a moment to... Well, this is Dr. Stan. We hope you enjoyed our conversation with Melody, who's on with us twice a month. And of course, this is the time when we have to remind our listeners, Radio Divinity is primarily listener-supported. And we go over a lot of the things again and again here when we're talking about finances, because they don't change. And, of course, if you're making your preparations properly, why, you're going to survive, and most people are not. Of course, you need to make your preparations not only fiscally and materially, but also spiritually, because believe me, behind everything going on today are powerful spiritual forces. Well, if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family and support us, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, and of course, if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family or help us out, we'd love to hear from you. And then, of course, we certainly hope that many of you will want to get the materials we have. My talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness, my talk on the Forbidden Secret, or on the Secret Knowledge. They're two different talks, but they're basically on the same subject. We hope, of course, you'll want to get to the syllabuses we offer. We, of course, have an excellent syllabus that goes with our Forbidden Secret DVD. We actually have a talk on the Planned Police State. We have material on the concentration camps. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there really are concentration camps that are out there. You can, of course, get some of that footage on the concentration camp special. We think it's nothing like it out there. We've got video footage, and then, of course, we have David Wagner's excellent DVD, Bob Wire Over America. And then, of course, we have the 4-tape set on concentration camps. People don't like to believe these things could be in the offing in America, but I fear it's going to be, because I believe God is going to bring his judgment on this nation, and our job is to warn people. We're to be the watchman on the wall described in Ezekiel 3 and again in Ezekiel 33, preparing people for the difficult times that lie ahead. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you out there will want to get some of the new 4-tape sets or 4-CD sets we have. We have one on the death of Martin Luther King. Is called The Execution of Martin Luther King, and there's a book that goes with that. It's entitled An Act of State, and it goes into the trial that was brought about by Martin Luther King's family against a fellow named Lloyd Jowers, who had been hired by the mafia working for the CIA to participate in the conspiracy to kill Martin Luther King, and they sent an innocent man to jail. And the man, of course, they sent to prison for the murder of Martin Luther King, did not commit the murder at all. But they can't let the American people know that. And then, of course, any more than they can let the people really know what happened to Bobby Kennedy or to Jack Kennedy. And they do assassinate people. They kill them here in the United States. We've talked to at least three assassins. At least three of the people we've interviewed have been murdered. In fact, one of the assassins, his body washed up on the shores out in the Caribbean here recently, according to Ted Gunderson. They finally tracked him down, and they killed him. Why? Because he came on programs like ours, and he told the truth about the fact he had been hired by the CIA as an assassin. And, of course, he'd killed a number of people, but he would not kill Ross Perot when he was ordered to do it. And remember, Ross Perot dropped out of the election back, I think it was in 1988, because he said that there was a conspiracy to get him. And he was absolutely right. There was a conspiracy to get Ross Perot. I'm not sure that was 88 or 92, but Chip Tatum was the man who was hired. I was ordered to kill Ross Perot and his family. Would they do that in America? Of course they'd do that in America. We're up against evil people. Now, of course, the material is still available. We still offer interviews on Chip Tatum, and, of course, Ted Gunderson's got a lot even better information than we have. So we do hope that many of you out there will go to our website, radioliberty.com, pull down our information on the murder of Jack Kennedy, on the murder of Bobby Kennedy, on the murder of Martin Luther King. And if they could do that to them, do you think they'd hesitate for 1 minute to do it to any one of you or to your family? We're dealing with organized evil on a scale that is hard to imagine when they will send our boys off to fight in the First World War for no reason at all, except they wanted the horror of that war so that we would be willing to go into the League of Nations and the world government. So remember our number, 1-800-544-8927, and please pray for Radio Liberty.